continuing with the chapter on respecting one's parents and the chapter on maintaining family ties. Today we do a hadith that teaches us some very beautiful principles. Like all other hadiths, this got the principles of when a person is giving charity, then who should he keep in mind first? Should he keep people that are outside, people that are far away? Or should he keep his close family relatives in mind? And maybe there's someone in my family that is in need. Who he should keep in mind when he's giving his charity also? This is all part of maintaining family ties. An Ummul Mu'mineen Maymunata بنت الحارث رضي الله عنها أنها اعتقت وليدة ولم تستأذن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فلما كان يومها الذي يدور عليها فيه قالت أشعرت يا رسول الله إني أعتقت وليدتي قال أو فعلت قالت نعم قال أما إنك لو أعطيتها أخوالك كان أعظم لأجرك متفق عليه. The mother of the believers, Hazrat Maymuna al-Harith, Maymuna bint al-Harith radiyallahu ta'ala anha, one of the Mubarak wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she is mentioning her incident, her personal incident. One thing we notice from the Sahaba is when they mention their incidents, whether the incident went against them or whether it was in the favor, it made no difference. We are mentioning an incident that had occurred in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The experiences that we had in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes you would find that a sahabi will mention a hadith wherein Rasulullah sallam scolded him. Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reprimanded him for a mistake that he made. But he didn't feel shy, he didn't feel below his dignity. Let me relate this hadith so the whole world can know what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told me. It was for the benefit of the public. Forget what happens to my respect. My respect is in the hands of Allah ta'ala. Here the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes first. So that's what we learn, lesson we learn from the sahaba, beautiful. Is that they didn't worry what people are going to say about me and what this one may say. But this is the deen of Allah ta'ala, how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam corrected me. And we also find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself would quote ayat of the Quran, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was giving some type of warning, some type of caution, some type of reprimand. Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned it, and we read it also in our salah, we read it in the tilawat of Quran. So even Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't feel ashamed to mention. And this is what you call true honesty, where a person mentions things as it is, even if it goes against him. So anyway, Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, Hazrat Maymuna bint al-Harith radiyallahu ta'ala anha, narrates that she freed a slave girl without seeking the permission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That she had owned, in her ownership she had one slave girl, so she freed it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first lesson we learn from here is that when a woman has wealth and she wants to distribute the wealth, in other words, she wants to give that wealth in charity, she doesn't need the permission of the husband. It's her money, it's her wealth, she can do as she pleases. So in other words, she's giving it, obviously, in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she freed the slave and she didn't ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the first masla we learn is that a woman can do that. So no husband should feel offended if a woman is giving charity from her own funds, her money she's giving. Nobody should feel offended. And when she does give from the husband's money also, then it is within acceptable reason, for within acceptable amounts and acceptable means, what is acceptable in the community. For example, a beggar knocks on the door, and now the woman sends some bread or some milk for the beggar. That is something that is acceptable, that Shariat allows also. She doesn't need the permission of the husband. It's something that's done within reason. She sends some fruit, some little bit of food that's left over, gives it, that's acceptable. Nobody will mind that. So Shariat also allows for that, it caters for that. It's not that now she'll be accused of stealing the item of the husband, because she's part of the household, it is an acceptable amount she can give. But yes, if the beggar comes, and now he's got to pass that amount and she gives the beggar, that Shariat won't allow, because that's not within the acceptable means. But when it comes to her own wealth, it doesn't matter how much she gives, she is welcome to give it in charity if it's her own wealth. Imam Malik rahmatullahi, he mentions, according to the Maliki Mazhab, that a woman, up to one third of her wealth she can give without the permission of the husband. More than one third, then she needs the permission of the husband. But this is not according to our Mazhab, this is according to Imam Malik rahmatullahi. Anyway, moving on. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had 9 wives. And this also was for a very beautiful reason, so that the deen can go and spread to the woman folk also. They can learn, they can narrate hadith, they can explain that this is how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived with us, and these are the sunnahs pertaining to woman, these are the sunnahs pertaining to the home, these are the sunnahs that are pertaining for the domestic life. There were so many people to learn. If Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam only had one wife, then how difficult it would be for one person to teach the woman. So this is amongst the beauty of our deen. Anyway, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's turn was to come to Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha, and when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, now she's informing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of something that she had done. She had freed the slave girl that she had. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ash'arati ya Rasul." First she told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ash'arati ya Rasulullah, are you aware that this is what I did? I had freed the slave." So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Did you really free? Did you really do so? Did you really do Abu Falti? Did you really free her?" So she replied, "Naam, yes." So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you had given her to your maternal uncles, it would have been, you have earned a greater reward. Because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that her uncles, maternal means father's brothers, that her uncles, sorry, mother's brothers, her, what we know as khals, we call them mamus, mother's brothers. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that they were in need, they needed some khadim, some servant, somebody to work for them. So instead of freeing that person, if you had given it to them, so she could have done some work, like how we have maids doing work, she would have done some work for them, she would have been in their ownership now, then that would have been better for you, because they were in need, number one. And number two, what was the benefit? Is that you are giving charity also. So you're giving someone that is in need, actually I'm explaining three things. You're giving someone that is in need, number one. Number two is you're giving your family members, you're maintaining family ties, so you're getting a double reward. And number three is you are giving somebody that is in need. So you're helping the poor, you're maintaining family ties, and you're giving charity also. So this, all three things put together, gives a person much more reward. One lesson that we learn from this hadith also is that how important it is to make mashura. That whatever we are doing, even in something that is good, obviously where we get a chance, person wants to go for umrah, make mashura with some senior person that I want to go, but I'm owing somebody money, I got some debts, what should I do? What is the best thing for me to do at this time? Oh, I want to give a certain sum of money. Where should I put it? Which is the best avenue? I got these three things in mind, you guide me. So here we learn that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her afterwards, but there are better things to be have done for us to learn, is that mashura should, counsel should be made before you do it. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Our faulty, did you really do so?" And then he explained to her, if you had done it in this tariqah, in this matter, in this manner, it would have been more rewarding for you. So here we learn that sometimes there are things that we think in our mind that is the best, but there may be another avenue that is better. Therefore mashura is so important. I'll give an example. One person phoned before Bakri Eid, and he says that this year I got a strong urge that I want to cut one bull, one very big bull. I got one strong urge that, so should I do it? So that was his question. So I asked him, are you owing anybody money? He said, yeah, I'm owing quite a few people money. So I told him, the better thing for you to do is make a normal qurbani of one sheep and take that extra money and pay the people that you are owing. Because this is the need of the time. The need of the time is not to say that I'm feeling like cutting a big bull and spending money there and not paying the people. So a person should always keep his priorities. In Islam, we encourage you to do first things first, the most important things first, and thereafter we do other things. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.